but it's a special day and a special focus, and it's also one of my favorites because it's one of the times in the church year we get to confess the Athanasian Creed, and we pray that God would richly bless us as we ponder the great mysteries of how God can be one and three persons in one God, and also the mystery of our Lord and Savior Jesus, true God and true man, all at the same time. We can never fully understand the mystery, but we can certainly appreciate it and love it. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 907, God Himself is Present. You'll notice a distinctively Trinitarian theme in most of our songs today. Following the opening hymn, we'll follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our special focus today is on the gospel reading from John chapter 3. When we get to the Athanasian Creed, we'll direct you to the right page, and we will confess the Athanasian Creed responsively, whole verse by whole verse, and we'll confess it that way. It is a great, great pondering and a great mystery and a great gift that God would reveal Himself to us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the gifts that You give us. We thank You for placing Your name on us in the waters of holy baptism. We thank You for revealing Yourself to us. We who are sinful and unholy, You who are thrice holy and hating sin, we thank You for bridging that gap with the gift of Your Son, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us forgiveness, life, salvation, peace. Heavenly Father, may this peace that surpasses all understanding be ours today and forevermore. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 907.
Thank you. Order of Matins, page 219. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us kneel with joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We chant the intro for today together.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him because He has shown His mercy to us. O Lord, our God, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, You have established strength. When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in, you have made Him a little more than
Sing now our office hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave, hymn 571. Please be seated. Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
Blessed are you, O Lord, who beholds the deep, and who dwells between the cherubim. Blessed are you, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and greatly to be praised forever.
A reading from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from John, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house. Place where your glory glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this Holy Trinity Sunday is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago, the familiar story of Nicodemus and Jesus, John chapter 3, dear friends in Christ. The Trinity is not the subject of a science experiment. The Trinity cannot be put under the microscope. The Trinity, properly speaking, is not an object of study. Yes, it's essential for a Christian to know the doctrine of the Trinity, to know the basics of this doctrine. Your pastor should teach it to you. And he should have books on his shelf that he has read that teach and examine and explain this doctrine. But the Trinity isn't meant to be put into the laboratory and dissected. The Trinity isn't simply to be studied. The Trinity is to be worshipped. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Trinity is to be adored. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways! The Trinity is to be reverenced. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Trinity is to be confessed. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. Nicodemus thought that he had God figured out, that he understood God and his ways. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He knew that he could spot a prophet from a mile away, and this guy fit the bill. He taught authoritatively. He did great miracles. He even demonstrated mastery over nature, just as the prophets of old did. Everything about Jesus fit into Nicodemus's nice, neat checklist of who God should be and how he should operate. And why shouldn't Nicodemus be right? He was a Pharisee, a teacher, a ruler of the Jews. If anyone should know about God, it should be him. If anyone should know about how to get into the kingdom of God, it should be him. And he knew that the path was hard, but it was doable. A road of obedience, one step in front of the other, and Nicodemus, he knew he was well on his way. But Nicodemus doesn't understand God at all. He doesn't know the true God. He doesn't know how he operates. Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter. He ignores the flattery and gets right to the point. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God is unknowable without a new birth. The kingdom of God is locked against us, inaccessible to us, without a new birth. We think we can understand God on our own terms, that we can make him fit our categories, that he does things as we would do things if we were in his position. We think the kingdom of God should be open to anyone who has done enough, whatever that means. No. You must be born again. And Nicodemus, predictably, doesn't get it. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this question seems ridiculous, sarcastic, maybe even a bit mean-spirited, but this ruler of the Jews is actually making an important point, an argument that many people made against Jesus throughout his life. What is wrong with my first birth? Nicodemus is a child of Abraham, a member of God's chosen, promised people. There is nothing wrong with that birth. He has the highest pedigree, the purest bloodlines. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know where I come from? We put our trust in our identity. We don't see anything wrong with our birth. In fact, it's in our birth that we put our trust. Our accomplishments, our abilities, the size of our wallet or our house are what matter. We live in a world where talent is rewarded on the movie screen, on the football field, or in the office. We want others to be impressed with us, with who we are, what we have done, and we simply assume that God will be impressed as well. But he is not. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. God doesn't do things the way you would do things. His kingdom is not set up the way you would set it up. God, apparently, no longer cares if you're a child of Abraham. He doesn't care if you come from impressive stock, if you can throw a football 60 yards, if you have made your millions or piled up promotions. What matters is a new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What was wrong with your first birth? It was a birth of flesh, a birth descended from Adam and Eve, a birth of sin, a birth destined for death. Every child that is conceived by man and woman is conceived of the flesh and is therefore subject to death and damnation. And we know this. We know this. We see this every single day. No one gets out of this world alive. All born of woman die. That which is born of the flesh is destined for death. The curse lies heavy upon them. The curse lies heavy upon you. And so a new birth is needed. A new birth that God Himself, thanks be to God, provides. Like the first birth, this birth comes through water. But unlike the first birth, this birth has the Holy Spirit. This birth is baptism, a new birth of water and the Spirit that replaces your first birth into sin, that erases the curse that your first birth delivered to you. No one can enter the kingdom of God. No one can know God without this birth. Now, when there is no opportunity for baptism, God does give new birth simply through the Word. But baptism is the ordinary means God has established to give new birth. In baptism, you are made new, a new person. Your sinful flesh is drowned, and a new spiritual person arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. This is no symbol. This is no picture. You are truly made a new person, a child of God. The gates of heaven are flung open for you. Nicodemus is stunned. In a few moments, he has gone from thinking he understood everything to understanding nothing. How can these things be? Doesn't make any sense. How can a splash of water and a few words actually make you a new person? Baptism offends us. It offends us with its simplicity, with its ordinariness. Just some water, sometimes even just a couple drops, and some words spoken by a pastor. Those who are baptized may now have a fancy banner and a candle, but they aren't glowing. There's no indication that anything special has happened, that they are somehow a new person. What seems much more real to us is a testimony, a dramatically changed life, a transformation we can see. Maybe a miracle or two, something like Pentecost last week. There must be something more. Surely God can't give away His kingdom or Himself that easily. How can God give Him knowledge of Himself in baptism to those who are destined for death and condemned to hell? How can God give access to the kingdom of God to wretched sinners with a splash of water? There's only one answer, and it is standing right in front of Nicodemus. He is standing right in front of Nicodemus. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. How can God give His kingdom, even give Himself to sinners? How can baptism truly make you new? The answer is Jesus. He descended in the flesh to make God known as the Savior of sinners, to open wide the gates of the kingdom of heaven. No one makes it up to heaven. No one makes it to God, no matter the accomplishments, no matter how impressive the bloodline. God has come down to you. Heaven is walking this earth. For wherever Jesus is, there God is, there heaven is. He descends in the flesh in order to be exalted, to be lifted up high before the people, shown to the world to be our Savior. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. in the wilderness, Moses lifted up a bronze serpent, the image of the people's sin, the embodiment of that sin's penalty. And all who looked to it lived. On Golgotha, God the Father lifted up His Son, the embodiment and image of His people's sin and that sin's penalty. And all who look to Him in faith live. All who believe that Jesus hung upon the cross, bearing not only the sin of the world, but your sin, have eternal life. Their sins are forgiven. That life, that forgiveness, is given to you and to me in the washing of the water with the Word, the water and the Spirit, holy baptism. How can baptism save? Well, baptism saves because it is the means which God the Father has established to bring the forgiveness that Christ the Son won, the victory He accomplished to sinners. Baptism saves because God the Holy Spirit is there, clothing you with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Baptism saves because it is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism saves because there the Trinity is at work, giving a new birth of the Spirit to one born of the flesh. You see, the Trinity is not the subject of a science experiment. The Trinity cannot be put under the microscope. The Trinity, properly speaking, is not an object of study. The Trinity is your God in action to save you. The Father, who created you by means of the Son as the Spirit overshadowed, has acted to save you when you fell into sin, when the future birth of all humanity became a birth into sin and death by the rebellion of Adam and Eve. The Father, in love, sent His Son, who in love for His Father and in love for you, submitted to the exaltation of the cross to pay for your sins, a victory brought to you by the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son to work new birth in the waters of baptism. The Trinity is made known in the salvation of Jesus. It's all about Jesus and His cross, even on Holy Trinity Sunday. How can these things be? The answer, it's always Jesus. His death, His resurrection, for you. In His name, amen. Having heard the very word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess the true faith. In the words of the Athanasian Creed, you may remain seated. It is found on pages 319 and 320. We'll speak it responsively, whole verse by whole verse. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one
in the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeded.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right thing that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
And welcome in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who reveals himself for you and for your salvation would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the great niece of Beth Fitzgerald, Good Shepherd member, Shay, who has been recently diagnosed with a terminal illness. We also pray for Bill Prenasil, the brother of Good Shepherd member Brian, whose cancer has returned. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For an increase in devotion for all the saints. For the faithful proclamation of the gospel by all pastors in Christ. For an end to schism and division within the church militant. And for the proper fear and fervent praise of the Holy Trinity among all those born again from above in holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful catechesis and formation in the faith for our catechumens, both young and old. For a renewed vigor to study God's word within the congregations of our synod. For Christ to be fully formed within us. For courage to walk as children of the light, and for strength in the face of temptation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sojourner and stranger, for the persecuted and oppressed, for prisoners and their families, for the enemies of the faith, and for true repentance of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For thankful hearts, and for the faithful support of the church and the work of the Lord, here and throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the safety of all those who travel, especially on this holiday weekend, and for a time of enjoyment and refreshment among all who gather together with family and friends, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are celebrating graduations this weekend and next, high school, college, and beyond, that their ultimate joy and celebration would be in Jesus, the author and perfecter of their salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are celebrating and rejoicing in God's gift of marriage, especially this day, we remember and give thanks for 59 years of marriage for Bob and Marlene McClellan, that their love for each other would never weary, but would deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and those who lead them, for peace in the world, for an end to violence and war, and it's for the remembrance of those who have defended our liberty and who have given the ultimate sacrifice, the cost of our lives, that our Memorial Day celebration would be centered in this great sacrifice. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those troubled in mind and heart, for the grieving and those grieving in their sorrow, and for all the sick and suffering, especially Shay, Bill, Alvin, Michelle, Glenn, Donna, DeVern, Katie, Diane, Noel, Carol, Charlotte, Celeste, Ed, Pam, Sherry, Bonnie, Cassie, Nicole, Ron, Warren, Ralph, Cindy, Anna, Ken, Scott, Eleanor, Mark, Joe, Deborah, Louisa, Lori, Lyle, Jake, Al, Rod, Sylvia, Willis, Ron, Arnold. For our shut-in members, for those in long-term care, and all those that we remember in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the communion of saints, for the forgiveness of sins, for the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, giving glory, honor, praise to the most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 837, Lift High the Cross.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for the activities and events that are in the days and weeks ahead. Biggie that's coming up is Vacation Bible School. Starts a week from tomorrow. We can still use some helpers and a various thing. Jerrica Perrin is one that is helping organize things. They just happen to be out of town this weekend. All the information's in the news and notes. And any assistance that you can offer, most especially getting your kids signed up and here, that would be a really great and God-pleasing thing. The theme this year is River of Life, and it will really be an expansion of what we heard in our sermon today, the Trinity at work, especially through the waters of holy baptism. Office will be closed tomorrow because of Memorial Day, and Tuesday we'll be back right with everything else, including Tuesday morning Bible study at 6 o'clock. The junior high youth will be in Camp Comica this week, and we pray God's blessings and that this would be a great opportunity for them to learn and grow in their faith, as well as safe travel. We have been waiting about 2 months to get information from the district office with regard to the names that the congregation submitted for our call list. We don't like to think about it. The long goodbye kind of makes us have delayed reaction and delayed response. But Pastor Morundi will be with us about 6 weeks, and then that will be the end of his time with us here. July 8 is Pastor Morundi's last Sunday and farewell in the congregation. Please make sure you keep that on the on your calendar. We did get information from the names that we submitted late this week. For those of you that are on the call committee, check with Kurt Stradley or myself. We have partial information for you today so we can get started. The congregation submitted 25 names to the district. We received a final call list of 20 from the district president. One of the individuals is pursuing work on an advanced degree and does not want to be considered for a call. Imagine that. The other four, their district president said they had not been in their current congregation long enough, and their district president did not feel comfortable giving that information to us. So we'll have a list of 20 names that the call committee will be working with, and we are hopeful that when we have our regularly scheduled voters meeting at the end of June, that there's a great possibility that we'll be able to have a call meeting that night as well. You want to add anything to that, Kurt? Okay. If anybody has any questions about the process, you can talk to Kurt. But call committee folks, check with Kurt or myself. We'll get you that partial information. Pastor, anything else? Oh, thank you. Thank you for the music. Beautiful. Vicar, thank you. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have, we'll continue our study of the formula of concord. You're all invited. We are looking at eternal election, otherwise known as predestination. Always a great topic. Have a great day and holiday and week in the Lord Jesus Christ.